moves with all the mommies.
The old Gravedigger.
The back of the club, Mackin' Horror, my crew's behind me.
I mean, this guy was 345 pounds, and when you have a nickname like the Gravedigger, you're God.
And now, presented by Stadium View Bar, Grill, and Banquet Hall in beautiful Green Bay, Wisconsin, the Packer Report Podcast with Gilbert Brown. Here's your host, publisher of the Packer Report, Ross Uglum.
No need to be greedy. I got mad friends with Benzes. See notes by the layers. True to life players. Jump in the road.
What's up, Green Bay Packers fans? This is your host, Ross Uglum, publisher of the Packer Report. Coming to you in truly, truly wild times. Gilbert, it's been a while, buddy. How you been?
Hey, man, I've been all right, man. Dodging bullets and doing all that good stuff, baby. I'm good.
Yeah, we want to thank Packer Report editor Andy Herman for filling in for Gilbert last week. I thought that show was really fun. It was kind of cool to have somebody else in here, although we and the fans, of course, we missed you. And everybody, you know, if you haven't been hiding under a rock, and if you have, just keep hiding under that rock, knows about the effects of the coronavirus and how they, you know, affect us and how they affect even our title sponsor, Stadium View Bar, Grill, and Banquet Hall. We want to mention just right off the top of the show, and we'll talk about them later in a bit, but Stadium View guys has, for those of you that live in Green Bay, Stadium View has online ordering, takeout, and delivery going on right now. Obviously not a place that's going to have the large amounts of people in there right now, as that's not intelligent and not safe, but continue to support, and wherever you're listening, continue to support small businesses, independent businesses like Stadium View, like our friend Bob, and order gift cards that you'll use later, or you know, just order delivery, order takeout, and try and keep these guys going during these trying times. What's the quarantine menu over at the Gilbert Brown household looking like right now?
Man, stay your ass in the house. That's what you're supposed to do. Hurry up and stay in the house so we can get out of this shit and do the right thing, like Cool Hand Luke said in the movie. Do the right thing, man. Do the right thing.
No shortage, though, Gilbert, of news. Certainly, for football fans, and this has been kind of an unprecedented thing. I did a radio hit yesterday, and they asked me, you know, do people always pay this much attention to free agency? I said, well, I do because it's my job, but kind of an unprecedented time in that. You know, normally free agency is going on during March Madness, and free agency is going on during basketball season and hockey season, and not right now. There isn't anything else going on. So the only thing people are talking about is the free agency period. We know about Tom Brady, and we know about a lot of stuff, but this is going to be more of a Packers-centric show because that's what you guys come here for, the Packer Report podcast with Gilbert Brown, brought to you by Stadium View. And so let's dive right into the Packers news. We'll get to all of this, Gilbert, but I'm just going to rip through it really quick so everybody's on the same page. Right away, in the morning, the Packers announced signings of Christian Kirksey and Rick Wagner. They were able to do that because neither of those guys were unrestricted free agents. They were street free agents. What's the difference? A street free agent was released by his old team. He was under contract, and he got cut for whatever reason. And so those guys can be signed immediately. They don't have to wait for unrestricted free agency to open. That's Christian Kirksey, a linebacker from the Browns out of Iowa, and Rick Wagner, who I'm sure a ton of our listeners know, right tackle that played for Baltimore and Detroit, who is a former All-Big Ten Wisconsin Badger. Then the Packers started losing guys. They signed Christian Kirksey probably to deal with the loss of Blake Martinez, who is headed on a $30 million deal out to New York to play for the Giants. Then the LA Chargers got Brian Bulaga on an identical contract, 3 years, $30 million. Giants came back to Green Bay and signed Kyler Fackrell, and the Browns replaced Christian Kirksey with B.J. Goodson, also a former Packer. And then last night, news trickled in that the Packers were re-signing Big Dog. Mercedes Lewis is coming back to Green Bay on a one-year deal, and the tight end room now is Robert Tonyan, Jay Sternberger, and Mercedes Lewis. So With all that said, Gilbert, I am going to open up the floor to you, because this was a guy that you talked about all year as someone that you wanted to see back with the team, and now he is with the New York Giants. Is there a little bit of frustration about the loss of Mr. Blake Martinez?
Oh, absolutely, man. I mean, the two guys, you know, when you look at them, you know, the new guy, Kirksey, a little bit faster, but, you know, it's all about the awareness to the ball. And I always go back to our scheme. This scheme is going to hamper his play a little bit, you know. But I spent some time with Blake here about a month ago or so, and, you know, really got to know him. Good kid, man. Real good kid, man. He's just a guy that you can tell has football sense. You know what I'm saying? Some guys that got no sense. some dudes that ain't got common sense, you know. But you can tell that he was a leader on that field, and you can tell that he enjoys the game. And it probably hurted him that he had to go. I mean, I know he was a Packer guy, you know. So don't be surprised after his career that he comes back as a Green Bay Packer to end it.
Yeah, I really thought after that, I think his agent kind of had let him know, you know, during the season that he didn't think something was going to get done. Because if you guys go back and watch his comments, watch his it wasn't a press conference, but I mean, you kind of watch the discussions that he had right after the San Francisco game. He was very somber, very sad. And I think Gilbert's exactly right. I think he kind of could tell that his time as a Green Bay Packer was over, and it really affected him. I mean, it was very similar, in my opinion, to Randall Cobb's exit, where there's that picture of him hugging Rodgers, but there are clear and obvious tears in his eyes. And I think Blake's situation was very similar in that he knew that he was not going to be a Green Bay Packer, and that, you know, that really meant something to him. And I think you're right. I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, after this, maybe even after this Giants deal, he comes back on a smaller deal, or even just at the end of his career, you know, signs that one day contract to retire as a Packer, because it was clear to me, and obviously clear to you, that it was important to Blake that he be considered a Green Bay Packer. And you're right. And that's one thing that I think that they still could do. There are a number of good players still out there at the defensive lineman position. I'm a little bit annoyed, I guess, because the guy that I liked ended up in Minnesota, and that was Michael Pierce, a defensive tackle, good run-stuffing defensive tackle from the Baltimore Ravens that had history with Packers assistant GM, or I can't remember what Milt's title is, but he's basically Goody's right-hand man. He knew Michael Pierce, and I thought that made a ton of sense. Now Michael Pierce is in Minnesota, but Mike Daniels still out there. Derek Wolfe, Shelby Harris, Sue is still out there. Timmy Jernigan, Andrew Billings, lots of guys that could come in and play next to Kenny Clark and provide a little bit of relief, not only for Kenny, but for the Packers' new linebacker, Christian Kirksey.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, you look at how the league is starting to shape up, man. Some of the people are – it's all about – even before the draft, it's all about who can you get out there in free agency to really bolster your team, and then bring these young guys in to learn instead of bringing them in and putting them in the fire right away. So, I mean, everybody's trying that formula first to get – the best they can get out there now before they bring these young guys in and really explore and make sure you got a proven player, or make sure you didn't get a dud. And sometimes, you know, we get duds like, who's that guy we got first round? He gonna kill me. Jamal Reynolds.
Dud. Oh, man. Trade it up.
I love Jamal, but dud.
Yeah. No, and I think, you know, Gilbert, you make a fantastic point there, because it's so important, I think, for these teams. And it was something that I think frustrated Aaron Rodgers. I think it was something that frustrated Mike McCarthy about the way Ted Thompson did business, which was to basically sit out free agency.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so you you go into the draft and whatever holes you had in your roster, whatever you needed, you mm-hmm. get to the draft, you still need it. Mm-hmm. And that's where I think Gutekunst has done a good job, which is in free agency, take care of some of those real problem areas, because mm-hmm. then you have flexibility to just take the best players once you get to the draft. Take the,
yeah,
you know, take the guy that's the highest on your board and not say, oh my God, we need a tackle, so we have to take a tackle. This yeah. corner or this receiver might be the best player on our board. We might think he's going to be a star, but if we don't take a tackle, we are screwed. And that's, I think, where you get the Wagner signing and you get the Kirksey signing, where at least if they go through the draft and linebacker and tackle don't make a ton of sense to take, then you've got these other guys that are at least capable. And I think Kirksey is even more than capable. I think he's a really good player. Wagner, as I've mentioned a number of times, was a really, really good player in 2016, 2017, and 2018, and had a rough year last year. Could be injury related. He's 30. It could be that, you know, maybe he's on the downhill, but there are lots of tackles in this league that play well 31, 32, 33 years old. So I think both signings, especially when you look at some of the other contracts signed by linebackers and offensive tackles, I think both signings have a reasonable amount of upside and are both very, very affordable. All right, again, guys, I want to take a quick time out here to pay the bills, if you will, or talk about Stadium View Bar, Grill, and Banquet Hall. Might be a while, obviously, before we're allowed to have the good times, you know, the big get-togethers, which was always the strength of Stadium View Bar, Grill, and Banquet Hall, the ability to have so many people in there having a good time. You talk about like Gilbert's tailgate parties or our live show from there. Upwards of probably 1,000 people in that building just having a roaring time. And that'll come back, I think. You know, obviously that'll come back. But right now, it's important to support local business, and not just Stadium View, but to support local business any way you can. Buy a gift card that you use later. Or you know, a lot of these places are switching to the ability to just grab like family style meals. I don't know if Stadium View is doing that right now, but I know their full menu is available for online order, for takeout, for delivery, very minimal person to person contact, able to try and kind of, like I said, keep these guys afloat during a difficult time. And frankly, a difficult time for everybody. We get it, don't we, Gilbert?
Oh, yeah, we get it, man. It's just like you go out in the street, man, you don't see as many cars and as many things as going on, which is good because, you know, everybody got to understand what we got to do right now. But, you know, the business part of it, those people are trying to find ways to stay afloat. And if you can go out and do what you can, or, you know, understand the thing, and instead of buying 25,000 pounds of toilet paper, man, something else, man. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's ridiculous right now, but understand that, you know, everybody has a plan. And, you know, if we just become more smarter and not panic too much and do the right thing, do the right thing. That's the theme of the show. Do the right thing. We should be fine. My hat's off to Stadium View, and if I was in town, I'd go call in and order them chicken wings. And can we get a to go cup of Crown? Can we get that?
I don't know if the delivery radius expands to North Dakota and Michigan.
Right.
I could call Bob and ask. I don't know. You know.
I can't find my Peach Crown anywhere. So.
Yeah.
I need to get
all there. Right. Got a little bit of story time with Gilbert here, if possible, because I think it's well known that you had the opportunity to go down and play for the Jacksonville Jaguars. So I just kind of want you to walk us through that process and How did the interest with Jacksonville start? Did you take a visit? I know there's a famous story about you and a little girl in the airport. Their offer to you. What made you kind of stick with? Just walk us through.
It's a story. It's a story that hardly nobody know. I was about to be. Remember when I hurt my knee and I was out that year?
Yep.
I wasn't going to do it, but I needed some leverage. So I went and worked out for the Bears.
Oh, my God.
and they
you didn't put any of their stuff on it. Like, they didn't give you a T-shirt or anything, did they?
No, I went out and brought my own stuff.
Okay.
And I went out. No pitches. No.
Okay.
But I went out there and worked out for them. And my agent, he was killing me. He's like, you got to do it, man, because we got to get some type of leverage so we let these boys know you're ready. And I went out there and saw the facility and worked out for them. And, you know, they was ready to sign the dotted line. But I was like, okay, now, send some of this information back to Green Bay so I ain't got to be no Bear. Please don't make me do this. Please. And thank God Reggie McKenzie saw me and brought me in. And I love Reggie McKenzie because he's the type of guy that very smart individual, was up and coming at the time, went on and GM'd them Raiders before John Gruden got over there and messed everything up. it's just one of those things where, for me, it was just devastating. I mean, just to be – if I had an opportunity to play again and not play as a Green Bay Packer, because it ain't just the players, it's the fans that you miss. You know what I'm saying? To me, as far as story franchises, you got Green Bay, you got Kansas City, you know, them two are Dallas are, you know, the Bears fall up in there in the top five as far as tradition and as far as fan appreciation. And for me, it'd have been devastating if I'd have played for anybody else. I mean, I was close several times, you know, my year when Mike Sherman got rid of me. I went and worked out for Kansas City, you know, which I was on board to do that because I knew Mike Sherman wasn't going to let me back. But after a while, I came to my senses and just didn't get it done. You know, it's just one of those things where, you know, football and just being able to be comfortable and being able to be a lifelong Packer like I want to be, at the end, just didn't work out.
So what was the Jacksonville story, though?
You know, Jacksonville's telling me everything I wanted to hear. You know, and they were, whatever Green Bay do, we're going to give you $1 million more. That was their thing. Whatever they do, they're going to give me $1 million more. But to me, the money wasn't everything. You know, it was just everybody in the locker room thought I was stupid. But at that time, man, you know, you got one of the best quarterbacks in the league. You get to play with the best defensive end that ever put his hand in the dirt. You got the greatest fans in the world. And you can't really get in no trouble in Green Bay unless you just are stupid. So you weigh all those things. And then the fans, man, oh, my God. They told me things I didn't know about myself. So there was no way I could leave that for $2 million. I couldn't do it. Couldn't do it.
That's awesome. Yeah, I don't know how often that kind of thing happens today. You know, I think money talks a little bit more, although you do see guys that stick around. And that's even, you know, something we talked about before the show with Brady was,
yeah,
he had taken, you know, he had taken less to be in New England so long. And then, you know, all the reports are that.
Yeah. If you look at my last contract or my last three, was it one or two? I think mine was 1 year or 2 years or whatever it was. I took less to stay myself. You know what I mean? So
sure.
it was the point where if you look at a guy like Brady, you know, he want his deal, getting his team right, maybe giving up sacrifices. You got to give up sacrifices sometime to play this game too. So I can see where he's coming from and how he did it.
Yeah, makes sense. I mean, it makes sense. And I think he had just sacrificed one too many times, and it was possible that they were.
Yeah. He's like, no, man, this is the last one. I got to get it.
For sure. And he will, you know, and I think that's going to be.
Tired of my missus making all this money and not me. Come on now.
Yeah, they're about to be on more. Easily since their Super Bowl era. Be on TV. I mean, Tampa has not been on national television in a while.
No.
And they're about to get like 6 primetime games. Sunday night, Monday night, all the nights yeah.
Tampa they probably ain't hardly ever been on TV that much since they was in the black and blue division. Remember?
Yeah.
Remember? Because they had to be on when they played us twice a year.
Right, for sure. I just think this is going to be a completely different thing in Tampa, and what a sight that will be. I think, thank God, they're redoing those jerseys. Those jerseys down there with the alarm clock numbers just hurt my eyes. I cannot stand the tan, and they are redoing them. You know, so that'll be cool if they, you know, be able to unveil those. And now they've got Tom Brady and the whole thing. So, all right, let's do a quick NFC North roundup, and we can start. Let's start with the newest news. So let's start where you are in Detroit, and kind of wrap up the what's been going on with the Lions. And I'm gonna go to our friends over at Pride of Detroit. So I just I have this correct because I want to make sure I do. So they just traded Darius Slay to the Eagles. He got 3 years, $50 million. So actually, Darius Slay is now the most highly paid corner in the league, because three years, 50 is more than any other corner is making on a per year basis. They traded for Daron Harmon, who is a safety with the Pats. Everybody knows that their head coach, Matt Patricia, used to be the defensive coordinator over, in New England, so that makes a lot of sense. They lost A'shaun Robinson to the Rams. They signed Desmond Trufant, who got released by the Falcons for salary cap purposes. They lost Devon Kennard, the kind of sort of pass-rushing linebacker that they had, the guy that rushed from the opposite side of Trey Flowers. They lost Devon Kennard to the Cardinals. And signed Danny Shelton to replace A'shaun Robinson. And the thing that really kind of got people going was, it's Big V, Vaitai. I'm not going to try his first name. Samoan giant offensive lineman from the Eagles, a guy that people didn't think was very good. And he gets 5 years and $50 million from the Lions, which is something, but a little bit of a rebuild on the fly from Detroit. Obviously lose their right tackle because he's coming to Green Bay, replace him with Vaitai and give him $50 million. But I would say most of the stuff that they did leaves them in a pretty similar situation, in the sense that the guys they lost, they kind of quickly replaced, and they've got that number three pick where they're likely to take, I think, one of the better corner prospects in a long time in Jeff Okuda. It seems like, as opposed to a complete rebuild, the Lions want to kind of keep running it back and try to stay relatively competitive while Stafford is still there.
Yeah, I mean, it's more of a tit for tat type thing right now, you know, and that coach, he got to do something, man. He got to figure it out because, you know, Lions are not who they thought they were or will be at this time, or kind of trying to figure it out. But then again, you know, this coach is trying to make moves. Hopefully he's got a couple more guys that he's sure of in certain key positions to help him win games, because at the end of the day, you know, the talk around town here is, is Stafford the man? Is he, did they pay him too much money? Did he, is he the guy that they thought he was? And a lot of it's 50-50 around here, man. You know, if you walk in somewhere at a barbershop or somewhere and say, hey, man, what about Stafford? They go, oh, man, we don't know about him, man. You know what I'm saying? But he is a quality quarterback, better than what they had in recent years. So you got to ride with him.
And he's better than anything they've had in Chicago in a while. And I think that kind of has to be –
Yes, what's his name? Trubisky. There he is. Sound like that.
I think you dropped a Trubinsky on him one time. That was pretty good.
It sounded like a box of crackers or something. Yeah.
So I mean, there were reports earlier in the season that Trubisky wouldn't let them have the TVs on in the facility because he didn't want to listen to He didn't want to listen to the talk radio or the talking heads say mean things about him.
Turn it off. Yeah. I say.
And so, I mean, you think about that and I shouldn't say I'm not making fun of him. I very clearly am making fun of him, but
yeah,
this kid, if you can't deal with someone saying something mean about you on television, I don't think you're going to deal with them trading for a Super Bowl winning quarterback very well either. And as everybody knows, the Bears took on that kind of ridiculous contract that Nick Foles signed with the Jacksonville Jaguars. The Jaguars, the way that the trading rules work, I think the Jags are still on the hook for his signing bonus. So they won't have to pay the signing bonus and it won't affect their salary cap. That's going to stay on Jacksonville's cap. So he comes in a little bit cheaper than he was for the Jaguars, but this is a guy in Nick Foles who now is, I would say, you're almost locked into as the starter just because you have to think you've completely destroyed Trubisky's confidence. And it's a player that outside of that magic run, filling in for Carson Wentz with the Eagles and working with Doug Peterson, he just hasn't been good anywhere else. What's your take on the Bears quarterback situation? And is this just another QB in a long line of sadness in Chicago?
Yeah, I mean, when you look at that, the Bears always had two key positions that never really panned out for them, and that would be quarterback and running back. You know what I'm saying? And back in the 85 when they had that great tandem of McMahon and Walter, you know what I'm saying? So it's tradition that carries a team on. And they never really had those two positions solidified after that. And then when you look at Nick Foles, you say Nick Foles, is that who you said? Anything, you know, here's Tripp. What's his first? Is that his first name?
Mitch Trubisky? Mitchell? Yeah, or they call him Mitchell?
Yeah, let me call him Mitchell because I can't get that last one. If he come in with the right mindset, of, hey, man, this is going to either push me or hurt. I got to be pushed. Now, that's kind of just like when I got back Russell Maryland was in my position. Either it's going to hurt you or either it's going to, are you going to take this as a challenge? You know what I'm saying? Like, hey, man, I ain't going to just lay down and give it to you. You know what I mean? So it has to be in a way where you got to be in the right frame of mind that competition is always there to help you, not to hurt you, to help you. And in Mitchell's defense, he got to come out and ball now. He can't be that guy that's going to be, oh, they just going to give me the position, so it's mine. Nope, not no more. We're going to push you to be the best. And if you're not going to be the best, we got a guy that's going to move you aside and take the reins. So you better be ready. Don't sit around here crying about it. Let's go.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that's what the hope would be if you're a Bears fan. But that hope, like I said, a guy that can't see mean, you know, people say mean things about him.
Yeah.
on TV. I just don't know if he's going to be the, you know, bootstraps kind of guy where he just tightens his shoes, gets to work, and starts kicking ass. I don't.
But this is the Bears. We hope that happens.
Right. No, I don't.
We hope that that happens.
And you know, that was not the only thing that the Bears did. And
what they did. And,
oh, man, so many things. So many things so far. They gave Jimmy Graham
OMG.
Yeah. They gave Jimmy Graham $18 million when the Packers thought that paying him this final $8.5 million was too much. I just don't understand it. As many folks who have no allegiances to Green Bay or Chicago have pointed out, this is a guy that has been past his prime for, what, 6 years? I mean, was clearly not – I don't think he was in his prime in Seattle. At no point in Green Bay was he a playmaker. I mean, he did fine. A 600-yard season in his first year was fine, but certainly not what they paid him to do, and ultimately just is done, I think. I mean, it's clear to me that he's done. Brian Pace doesn't think so, gives him $18 million. They do kind of a – go ahead.
Can I break this down for you?
Yeah, go ahead.
What have we not done all year last year on defense?
Cover the tight end.
Okay.
You don't need to cover him. Cover himself.
No, I'm telling you, watch and listen and learn. They did this for a reason. And our scheme on the offense, you know, we try to get the tight end involved. If you look at Chicago's offensive scheme, they're going to put him involved. So now some people may say he may have lost a step or whatever, but watch how he plays in this scheme. And it's going to open you guys' eyes. He's going to say, why in the world couldn't he play like that against us when we had him? Or why couldn't we, you know what I mean, type thing. But, I mean, they did it for a reason now, because Chicago's goal in life is to what? Beat us. Yeah. Nobody else. We got to get 2 wins off these fools. That's what they're saying. So they went out and they always try to get our better man. Or they always try to get something that we don't really need. And they went out and paid this dude. I don't know. They probably could have got him for less. Who knows? But, I mean, my hat's off to him. If he can go out there and steal some more money, that's what he's going to do. And that's what the Bears let him do.
He's a Sam Bradford, the Kirk Cousins of getting paid. I mean, his agent must be just an absolute wheeling dealing, because.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, you know, hey, you got to understand the football part of it, folks. And the football part of it is that as big and as strong as he is, he's a tall tight end. And all he got to do is jump up and grab the ball if he wants to. So that's what the Bears see. And they want to beat Green Bay. So they're going to take what they can get.
At any rate, I don't think he's going to – I just don't think he can run anymore. And Green Bay's problem for years has been linebackers that can't run, covering tight ends that can. Mm-hmm. Well, they can't run. I mean, I don't think Kirksey would have a problem running with Graham, because he just can't run. But anyway, we'll see. Really interesting. I thought the guy across from Khalil Mack, they swapped that out, in a sense of they released Leonard Floyd, who was always a athletic matchup kind of pass rusher, not ever going to go through you, always going to try and run around you. Interesting kid that they took really high in the draft. They release him and sign Robert Quinn to a 5-year deal. Quinn has been around for a long time. He's had good years. He's had bad years. He was pretty good in Dallas last year. Had kind of a disappointing career, I think, in St. Louis. Then, of course, in L.A. for the Rams. But they spent a ton of money on him to replace Floyd and give them a little bit more of a threat opposite you know, obviously opposite Khalil Mack. They lose Nick Kwiatkowski, one of the inside linebackers. They lose him to the Oakland Raiders. He was a guy that the Packers were reportedly in on before they signed Kirksey. Nick Williams is a really talented, I think, defensive lineman that signed with Detroit. And overall, I think kind of the same thing about the Bears in the sense of they stayed pretty much the same as far as their talent level. I mean, I don't think they got a lot better. I don't think they got a lot worse. You lose a couple of guys. You know, they haven't decided to bring back or not bring back Clinton Dix. Kevin Pierre-Louis is gone. Nick Williams is gone. Chase Daniel, their backup quarterback that won that game on Thanksgiving, is now in Detroit as well. You lose Floyd. You bring in, I mean, they're just kind of treading water. The biggest thing, obviously, I think, with the Bears is the quarterback decision. They have so few draft picks because of that Khalil Mack trade. And then to send another one of those picks to get a mid-level quarterback, or maybe even a little bit worse than a mid-level quarterback, I just don't ever know what the hell Chicago's doing, man.
Yeah. I mean, it's the Bears, you know. You look at what they're trying to do. They on some of that stuff seems like their hands are tied, you know, because they got a that big Khalil Mack trade deal they got to deal with and everything that comes about that. But then again, it is the Bears, and we rather have them make stupid moves than great moves. So let them go ahead and shoot themselves in the foot.
Yeah, and that's the big deal, too, is it's a coach, and of course he is, you know, it's a coach that doesn't want to get fired. And that's
right.
When sometimes, and I think this is the next team we'll talk about here, I think sometimes that happens and you put your team in a rough situation and you just have a guy that's trying, when the obvious thing is to not necessarily blow it up, but when the obvious thing is to try again and kind of rebuild, but you don't think your job is going to survive the rebuild, then sometimes, as you mentioned, questionable decisions are made. And that's a situation right now where I think Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy realize that they need to duct tape this thing back together and try their darndest to get something going in the right direction. Because if they don't do this thing with Foles, I think there's going to be another regime change in Chicago, and they're going to have to start really from scratch with probably a new general manager, new head coach, and try this whole thing again. So I think they're just kind of holding on. And that brings us to our last NFC North team, and that's the Minnesota Vikings. And they're really, really confusing me. I don't understand what the hell they are doing. And I'll kind of break everything down for you, Gilbert, as to what they've done. So the first thing that the first situation you have to understand with the Vikings is that they entered the offseason $2 million over the cap, and you have to have like $3-4 million to sign your rookies. So really, they were $5 or $6 million over the cap. And you have to be under the top 51 cap at all times. You can't just sign a bunch of guys and then figure it out later by releasing guys. You have to stay under the cap. So to even get into the offseason and start doing stuff, they release Linval Joseph and they release Xavier Rhodes. Rhodes is a corner that everybody kind of feels is washed up. Linval Joseph was a nose tackle that was really just released for money reasons. I mean, he's still a decent player. Somebody gave him a decent chunk of change as well. It was the Los Angeles Chargers gave him a decent chunk of change to head out there. But then you just see this massive exodus. And what happens first is that they give Kirk Cousins a 2-year contract extension. And the way that they structure the contract extension is they get $10 million of cap relief this year that will come back to bite them in 2022. So his cap number in 2022 is actually going to be $45 $2 million. And so you lock yourself into Cousins for two more years, and you're thinking, okay, they're gonna try to compete, because Rick Spielman doesn't want to lose his job, Mike Zimmer doesn't want to lose his job. So they're going to bring Cousins in. They're going to at least have a decent quarterback. They're going to have a functional quarterback, because they're going to try to run this back. Turns out they're not going to try to run this back, or they can't try to run this back because of all the crazy other stuff that goes on. So they are going to, we're going to lose Anthony Harris. So they put the franchise tag on him. Now they're trying to trade him. They do trade Stephon Diggs to Buffalo. So now they're down a receiver. Trey Wayne signs to Cincinnati. Now they're down a starting corner. Everson Griffin voids the last year of his contract. He's probably going somewhere else. Now they're down a defensive end. His backup, Stephen Weatherly, signs with the Carolina Panthers. Mackenzie Alexander is still a free agent. Nobody knows where he's going to end up. Linval Joseph signs somewhere else. They release their second best offensive lineman, Josh Klein, the guard. So now their bad offensive line gets even worse, and it's just a team that really looks like it's rebuilding, except they give, like I said, my guy Michael Pierce money, and they do the extension with Cousins. I don't understand what the hell is going on, because they are now, after the Pierce thing, they're right up against the cap again, so they're gonna have to figure that out. And it seems to me like a team that knows it should be rebuilding, but is making moves to stay in a position where they can win 7, 8, 9 games instead of winning 4 or 5 or 6 games. If anybody's making a mess of the offseason, Gilbert, I actually think it's Minnesota.
Yeah. I mean, when you look at Minnesota, oh my God. I mean, when you look at what they're giving away and what they're picking up and how they're trying to approach the season, I mean, what pick do they have?
They've got 21 and 23 now, because they got 22. Well, yeah, because they got one for Diggs. They got one for Diggs because – but that, so I laugh is the wrong word, but I find that interesting, because, okay, what are you going to do with that pick? If you take a receiver, now you got worse at receiver, and I'm not sure what else you accomplish. You trade Diggs, you take a guy with the first round pick. He's not going to be as good as Stephon Diggs the first day he arrives in Minnesota. That's completely unrealistic. But it was clear, in my opinion, he just did not want to be there. And no, I think that's a situation that you probably understand. I mean, you certainly understand as a player better than I do, when it's just over and the guy just doesn't want to be in the building anymore.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you can see that. And I mean, you don't want that type of friction to start. If you got a chance to give him away and get something else, and the guy's really unhappy. I mean, if you go back and look at the guys back in the day, like Barry Sanders. Barry Sanders was he wanted a championship. And how that happened, how that unfolded, and Megatron, how that happened, how that unfolded. And, I mean, you got to take your hat off to Minnesota, where they just say, okay, man, look here, man, we ain't working, you ain't working, we gonna go get you somewhere else. And try to get something for you to make it work, So that's the hat off to them about that part. But the Vikings suck, so who cares?
Very eloquently put. But yeah, like I said, just a team that seems to be going in two different directions. My personal opinion is that it's because of the two guys that want to keep their jobs. And why wouldn't you? I mean, of course they want to keep their jobs. I just think that it didn't work, guys. That's flat out the Jared Allen, Adrian Peterson, Antoine Winfield group. They got to the NFC Championship game and lost. Then he had to rebuild it. This Harrison Smith, Kirk Cousins, Stephon Diggs, Everson Griffin, Danielle Hunter group that was very talented. I think the highest high for them is getting their ass kicked by the Eagles before the Super Bowl, and I just think it's rebuild time. They went so hard up against the salary cap and were so aggressive building that team that at some point it was going to come home to roost, and now it has. And now they're losing talent left, right, and center, and it's just time. It's over. I think it would be wise to just kind of recognize that and move forward, but we're going to get this kind of weird, I think, mediocre Vikings team next year that doesn't quite have enough juice to compete, but at the same time still has some of these older vets on big contracts because Spielman and Zimmer want to stick around, and it's interesting. But Gilbert, we have, and I kind of figured this was going to happen, because what a time, you know, to be talking ball. Again, we're kind of running out of time. Real quick with the Packers, you know, Kirksey and Wagner are probably not going to be superstars. They're also probably not going to get you killed at that inside linebacker and right tackle position. I don't think they're done. I know that they are up against the cap. If you consider signing the class and you consider keeping $6-7 million aside for in-season additions, like frankly, Jared Belder and Tyler Irvin last year, but they still have about $12 million in room. Plus they can easily create room by extending Bakhtiari, by extending Clark, by extending Adams, by restructuring some deals, because guys, they have a ton of cap room next year and the year after that. And because of the CBA, and Gilbert, we could do a whole show on the new CBA, but because of the collective bargaining agreement, the players' percentage of what the NFL makes is going up. So we're going to see a salary cap that this year is like $198 million. In the future, that salary cap could be $240 million, could be $250 million. The Packers are very financially flexible 1, 2, and 3 years down the road. It's just this year they might have to move stuff around. But I could see, as I mentioned, the addition of a defensive lineman. They mentioned at the combine wanting to add 1 or 2 pass catchers, whether that was in the draft or free agency. So I think you could see them sign a wide receiver or a tight end as some of these guys' price come down, because, you know, there's some funny money. There was some silly dollars coming out in that first day. Gilbert, thank you so much for coming on the show today, buddy. Thank you guys for listening. And thank, as always, our title sponsor, Stadium View Bar, Grill, and Banquet Hall. Go Pack, go, everybody.